Good morning, VCF. How are we doing today? I'm so glad to see each one of us. Amen. It's a blessed day the Lord has made in which we shall be glad and rejoice in it. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for this day. Thank you for every person you have brought in this house of prayer. We pray that, Lord, as the word is coming this morning, open our ears, open our hearts, that we may be able to assimilate it and put it into practice to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. And I'm just going to read one verse, and then I'll come to the book of Ecclesiastes. I'll continue from there. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. There is one single verse which is very interesting for me this morning, and I hope it will be for all of us. Verse 32 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. The Bible says, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I think you can find in other versions that the sons of Issachar were able to understand the times and seasons. And then quickly, I want us to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. I'm going to read a few verses from there. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. The Bible says, for everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Let me jump to verse 11. Verse 11 says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to the end. This morning, I want to talk about what I've entitled, Understanding the Times and Seasons. Understanding the Times and Seasons. Just as we have read the first scripture from the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, we've heard that the sons of Issachar were men who were able to understand the times and seasons, and they were able to tell Israel what to do at a particular time. I believe they were also able to tell Israel what not to do at a particular time. Now, when we look at the 12 tribes of Israel, we see that each tribe had one ability or gift which they were blessed with or vested in. We know that among the tribes, there is the tribe of Levi, where all the priests, the clergy, comes from. The tribe of pastors, so to say, in our contemporary. And then we have the tribe of Judah. That is the tribe of kings, the tribe of leaders. We have the tribe of Gad. That is the tribe of warriors, the soldiers. We have the tribe of Zebulun. That is the tribe of businessmen, accountants, and so on and so forth. We have the tribe of Judah also. It is also the tribe of praise. And then I can go on and mention each one of them. If you read, you are going to find that each tribe had one particular gift which stood out. And now the tribe of Issachar was distinguished because of their discernment. This is the tribe that was vested in discernment. They were able to understand the times. They knew to say, at this particular time, we are supposed to move camp or we are supposed to stay. They were advisors about time. I believe they were even the ones responsible for fixing religious holidays. They were able to advise politically as well as spiritually. And then we have moved on to the book of Ecclesiastes. The preacher by the name of Solomon, the man who lived life to his fullest pleasure. He experienced life in various dynamics and dimensions. And then he had the testimony to tell at the end. Out of experience, then he presented this season. Started by saying that for everything has a season and a time under heaven. So today, I would like us to just begin to think about this. Understanding the times and seasons. I know each one of us experiences these seasons. Just as it is when we read the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 1 from verse 14 there, we are going to hear that when God was creating, he fixed the seasons, the times and seasons. They were ordained by him. He created the day. He created the sun to govern the day. He created the moon and the stars to govern the night. And he put the seasons. That's why here in America, in Zambia, we have got three seasons. In America, I found four. So there is there is winter, there is spring, there is summer, and there is fall. These are the seasons. Even in our lives, there is a time of winter that we experience. The time of spring will come. The time of summer will come and the time of fall. But the question this morning is, are we able to discern? Are we able to understand these times as they come? They come in various dynamics. They come in various ways in our lives. As we've read in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible is saying that there is time to mourn. When the time of mourning comes, that is a season. Mourn through it. And don't dwell there. Then the time to dance will come. When the time to dance comes, dance along. That's the season. And when it's over, move on. Now, the challenge that we have, all of us, is that we have got this tendency of wanting to stay in one season forever and ever until Jesus comes. If it is the time of disappointment, we want to stay in there. Things that happened maybe 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last year, yesterday, 5 minutes ago, we still hold on to it to say, I was offended that time. I still remember what that person did to me. I can't let go. You are still in the season and time of unforgiveness. It has passed. Tell your neighbor, get over it in Jesus' name. I'm being an African. So don't worry, you should be shouting to say, get over it. Amen. I know people are not feeling comfortable to say that. Don't worry, they are not going to take offense. It's me who is saying it. Maybe you should be reporting to say, he's saying, get over it. Hallelujah. So, this is reality in our lives, in each one of us. Now, this morning, as I've said, I want us to look at this. I want to present some few ways on how we may be able to understand the times and the seasons. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible gives out a very powerful verse there, which says that, for he has made everything beautiful in his time. He has made everything, not some things, but everything beautiful in his time. And he has set eternity. Other version says he has set worlds in the hearts of men and women. Though no man can understand what God has done from the beginning to the end, that's the problem. God has already laid down everything. But the problem is that we don't understand. We are unable to discern. We are unable to understand the seasons and the times. The sons of Issachar had this grace. I know some of us may be saying, but what do we have to do with the sons of Issachar? We are not from that tribe. I want to tell us this morning that we are carrying this anointing through Christ Jesus. And the advantage that we have is that all the gifts of the 12 tribes, we have them in Christ Jesus. Each one of us, hallelujah, we have them. We have leadership within us. We have the warrior within us. We have the praise. We have everything within us by the power of the Spirit of God. There was that transition. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to appoint the 12 apostles to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. So, how do we understand the times? First of all, I want us to understand that if we are to understand the times and seasons, we need to be very attuned, or we need to be tuned to the Spirit of God. We need to be sensitive. We need to be on a lookout. You need to make this deliberate step whereby you want to understand, you want to observe, you want to see what's going on. Be observant. Be sensitive. Watch and pray. Amen? Because sometimes when we are praying, when we close our eyes, it's like we are closing out from everything else. But we must watch and pray. And as we do that, we are going to see how God is working through people, even through different circumstances. We will be able to understand, to say, okay, this is the Lord's doing. How will I join him? How will I accommodate the work of God? Now, let me say something. Sorry, today I'm presenting, you know, the different areas. You see, what we do sometimes is this. When God is working in our lives, and we see him working, we tend to distance ourselves. We throw it to other people sometimes to say, I know, this one is for these people. I'm not part of this. And the other thing that we do is that we want to use mathematics, science, you know, chemistry, calculation, you know, to be able to be convinced, first of all, before we can make a step. How many likes doing that?
I'm one of them sometimes. I have that temptation too. The accounting in me sometimes will come up, want to put figures in place and try to, you know, to do an estimation of things, but sometimes it never works. Faith never works that way. When God is working and he says, go, you need to go. Amen? But the problem is, it becomes a challenge. It becomes a challenge. For us to understand the times and seasons, we need to be tuned to the Spirit of God. We need to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. How do we become obedient? If God was speaking like in a megaphone, whenever he wants to do something, he comes and announces, this is now the time to move. I'm sure all of us could have been moving very fast. But the problem is that it never happens that way. There is this very still voice. And if you're not careful, you cannot even pick it. It's a whisper, very tender and soft. Sometimes you even think that it is your own thinking, but God is speaking. He's saying, now. Now is the time. And then you'll be there. You'll be like, Lord, are you the one who's speaking or is the enemy? I think maybe it's the enemy who's trying to direct me to failure. No. It is God who is speaking. Trust and obey. Hallelujah. Don't make calculations. Just jump. I remember Pastor last time, it was last year, he was preaching about jumping. You remember that short clip which he showed somebody jumping into the water? I remember. So he was saying that sometimes we don't need to ask questions, just jump. That is an act of faith. Amen? So when God is speaking, just begin to move. You see, I always think about Abraham. Just imagine for a few seconds. God tells him to say, move, leave your inheritance, leave your family and everything. Go. You and me can ask the very common question, Lord, to where? And then the answer came, to the land I will show you. Who would embark on a journey with such arrangements? Start off, get on a plane. Of course, a plane will have a destination, but Abraham was told, begin to move. To the land I will show you. I've been thinking after staying in the US for the past 3 years, when driving, I've been used to the GPS, even when walking, if I want to go to some place. In my country, we just calculate. When you are told, go straight, make a turn to the right, this, you find the place. Of course, if they say it's just a short distance, be prepared to walk more than 30 minutes or an hour or so. But here, we are used with the GPS, and that mentality, sometimes I've got this temptation now, everything I want to Google, I want to put in the GPS. Even in the spirituality, we want to bring in the same. When the word comes, we want to do a spiritual Google, if at all it is there. We want to find out, what is the destination? This is point A, what is the destination? You cannot understand the times and seasons like that. You cannot work with God. You cannot move with God like that. We need to take a step of boldness. Amen? Let's trust the one who speaks, God. When he speaks, don't make calculations. Now, one thing that we need to remember always is that this God is the one who created the times and seasons, just as I've said in the book of Genesis. Is the one who created the times and seasons and is out of it. Is not affected by time and season. It is us who are caught up into this. God is independent. That's why he never grows old. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Seasons come, seasons go. He never changes. He's still the same Jesus. Amen. But you and me, we change. You are seeing me today. I'm looking a young man. Young man, right? Praise God. The time is coming when I'm going to grow old because of the many seasons that are going to pass. Hallelujah. This is the reality of life. But God is never like that. So he's not affected by time and season. So if he says move, it's better to trust the one who is never affected. Amen? Is that making sense? Praise God. Amen. So let's learn to trust this God. Let's move when he says move. And stay when he says stay. Let me give you an example. By the word of the Lord, Elijah the prophet was commanded to shut the heavens. He stood up and said, at the word of the Lord, it shall not rain until at the word of the Lord through my mouth. And the Bible says that 3 years, 6 months passed without any single drop. Now, the children of Israel, and those days they were known to be farmers. I don't know about this civilization now. Maybe they have become into business and everything. Those days they were farmers. And if you are to do farming, what is important to a farmer? Rain. Now, this is the prophet who commands to say, it will not rain. Meaning that even himself was going to be subject to the hunger that was going to strike, the famine. But by faith, he declared the word. And after that, I'm sure he was thinking to say, Lord, where else will I turn now? And the word again came to say, go to Ravine Gilead. There, I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Amen? The birds. Christianity is very interesting. The story about God is very interesting. Birds were commanded to take bread and meat to the prophet of God. During breakfast, they will come, quack, 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 quack. They drop. The man of God will eat, drink some water. It was by the brook. They leave. Lunchtime, they will come. Same thing. Evening, same thing. And I think Elijah started enjoying to say, oh, glory be to Yahweh in the highest. I will never leave this place. I'll continue to stay here forever and ever. While Ahab and his false prophet are languishing. And after some time, the word of the Lord came to him again and said, Elijah, leave this place. Go to Zarephath. There, I've commanded a widow to feed you. Amen? Are you seeing the movement? Some theologians said Elijah was trying, you know, to delay because the birds continued to bring the food and he was like, what's the difference? Why shouldn't I just continue with what I'm receiving with the birds? And they say that God struck the brook with the sun and it dried up. So the thirst rushed him. It added the speed, the supernatural, to go. That is not written in the Bible. You know, it's one of those theological assumptions. But the fact is that he left that place and went to Zarephath. We know the story. Amen? When God speaks, we listen and we obey. Success is guaranteed in Jesus' name. So Elijah had to descend to say, the season of ravens had come to an end. Now, I have to move to another place.
And he obeyed.
I earlier mentioned that the problem we have, all of us, is when the time to make a shift, to advance comes, we struggle.
We struggle very much.
We'll be busy trying to find all sorts of excuses. Ah, no, I can't move, Lord. No, look at this. We'll point out and list everything. When God says go, we have to go. It means he has already seen the future, which we are unable to see. That trouble is coming. So before it comes, go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. By doing that, we'll be successful in understanding the times and seasons. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, even in Deuteronomy chapter 1 there, we hear God telling the children of Israel to say, you have stayed long enough at this camp. Move. How long have you stayed at the level where you are right now? If you think about it, in terms of faith, how long have you stayed there without moving? The word has been coming powerfully. Pastor will preach. You will release the fire. We'll come, we help, we release the fire. We will do the Bible study. We will encourage the devotions and everything. Do you feel that we are moving forward or we are still on the same place? Sometimes everything, the word that is necessary for this journey can be there. But are we opening up to receive it as well as obeying it? Let's think about that. The second thing that I want us to look at, which makes us not to be able to move forward or to be able to discern the times and seasons, it is familiarity to our usual ground or our common ground. Familiarity. When we become familiar to one thing, it becomes part of us. When God says, now is the time, let's progress, we start resisting. Be it it's a good environment or a bad environment. Once you stay in a condition for a long time, you begin to accept it. You feel that that's the way life is. Let me give you an example. The children of Israel. Okay? They are in Egypt. They are crying. We are suffering with this slavery. We are suffering. And God sends a deliverer on the road to the promised land. What happened? They changed their mind on this very deliverer and started saying, no, we are better off going back. We find ourselves behaving like that sometimes, whereby God has started a movement. You are moving forward. And the moment you encounter a challenge, you want to run off, to go back where you are coming from. Familiarity with the common ground. From the time I started preaching in 2005 until today, I have witnessed a number of believers that moves from one church to the other. They don't stay. They keep on blaming the leadership of the church. They keep on blaming others. They keep on blaming everyone around them. They are just moving. And they say, I'm looking for solutions. I'm not finding solution in that church. Now, one thing that we should never forget is that when it is, we've read about times and seasons being fixed by God. When it is the season of you going through that session, that period, even if you run to Africa, that season will follow you. Are we together? That season will follow you. Even there you run away, you'll be like, ah, these people are just like the same. I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else. The fire will follow you, even where you run to. So allow the process and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It is just a season. I've already said, seasons come, seasons go. We must pass through the process. Sometimes we've been like praying, we have vibrated in the spirit, and nothing seemed to be happening. I want us to understand that something is happening. That problem may seem not to be moving, but things within you, around you, are moving. You may not know it. Amen? So, let's abandon our common ground. That familiarity. That familiarity. Where's my wife? I can't see her. I want to say something about her. Okay. She's around? Praise God. Okay. Yeah. So, let me tell you something. If she doesn't hear it, no problem. So, when I married my wife was so attached to her mom. When I told her to say, we need to find a house where we'll be staying, you know what she told me? She suggested a place close to our father's house. Just like from here to that corner. She was like, there is that house. You know, let's go. Let's convince them. We need to be there. I feel in my spirit, I said, mm-mm. Don't tell her about that. I'll be in trouble when we go home. So, of course, I turned down the one that was very closest. We went a little bit further. And I told her to say, my wife, the Bible says that a man shall leave, including you. We should leave our parents. Now we are together. She said, hallelujah, praise God. And I told her to say, when I go for work, please stay at your house. She said, no problem. And it's now, while we are in America, that's when she told me the secret. So every time I went for work, I'll come back, I'll find my wife, she's home, you know, and everything. I'm like, hallelujah. My wife has learned to stay home. Now, when we are here, she told me to say, you know what I was doing? I used to calculate your time. I'll call you, and when I hear your program, then I'll immediately go to my mom. I'll stay there the whole day. And when I know that you're about to knock off, I'll quickly come home and maintain the environment. Familiarity to the common ground. It happens like that. We do the same. Even in church, it's the same thing. You know, there is that attachment to the things that we used to do. We don't want to leave. When God says, disconnect with this habit, we must disconnect. That is discerning the season. Amen? Now, let me tell you something. I told you that when I was in the Baptist church in 2010, the Lord spoke to me to say, the time has come, you must leave and start Reconciliation Life Church International. I struggled. Same thing as I'm talking about. I started giving God reasons. I said, Lord, why should I leave? Preaching the gospel is the same thing. This is the church, and why should I go and start on the rock again, hard the ground, from point zero? I want to continue here. The Lord said, no, you must leave. The time has come. But I kept it to myself. I continued to go. Okay? I continued to go. Something happened. Every time I went, I could just, somebody would be preaching. It's like they are just preaching about me all the time. And then I started getting offended to say, I think they are just there. They are just after me. They are just attacking me all the time. They don't want me. I'm sure they have hated me. God said, move. The excuse that I had, actually, I was giving all these excuses. Not that, you know, it was anything, but it was fear. I was afraid. I wasn't married. I'd not yet graduated from the seminary. You know, everything was pointing according to my human calculation. But when I took the leap of faith, it was hard for the first month, you know, into second, 4 months, then the plane just took off. Today we are talking of 3 branches. One was planted last year while I'm here. Praise God. Amen. So, that is how faith operates. We are always afraid. Fear. Fear really cripples us. It attacks us. I also become afraid. I'm not speaking like a hero. I also shake with some things in life. But I find strength in the Lord. Amen? So sometimes we need to be open to God to say, Lord, help me to overcome this fear. Help me, Lord. I cannot do it on my own. That's why sometimes He brings that season of trials and temptation, fire, putting us in the furnace. And in there, we mature, we grow. As we come out, we are never the same. Amen. I read some history about a man called Cortez. Hernan Cortez. The man who lived in 1519 AD. This was a Spanish commander who went on the conquest of Mexico. And so their mission was to capture an highland. And that highland had fortified soldiers, dangerous warriors, different groups. It had treasures, actually. Different groups had attacked it several times, and all of them were dying. And the way to reach there was to go using the boats. And once you land, you are stuck. You can only go back by boats. And so, as they were approaching and seeing how other soldiers were being devastated and killed, the soldiers became afraid. And they were telling this commander to say, let's turn back. They tried by all means, because of fear, to convince the man to turn back. They deemed the mission to be impossible. And when he showed up, they were expecting him to say, okay, yeah, yes, please, we cannot manage. Because for over, you know, hundreds of years, people have tried to capture this island. They have failed. Let's go back. But on the contrary, he gave them the command to burn the boats. He said, set the ships on fire. They were like, what? Set the boats on fire. You know, in military, once the commander gives an order, it's an order. So they set them on fire. And then he told them to say, the only way we'll go back home is to fight the enemy and repossess their boats. We must use their boats to go back. So we have to fight or die. And then, you know what that means. For the sake of wanting to go back home, the soldiers gathered courage. They fought
powerfully and courageously
and overcame.
They prevailed. You can Google it and Cortez, Hernan Cortez. You are going to hear that story. Sometimes we are also overcome by fear, just like that. God will bring the fire to burn some of the boats that we've been depending on, so that it will be moving forward or nothing. Just like Pastor was saying in one of the sermons, it's to get hold of this or remain with nothing. We need to have faith, advance by letting fear go in Jesus' name. Amen. This is very important. Understanding the times is very important, because the life that we live on this earth is never the same. It's not like on the smooth plane, like you take off, you're like, whoo, and then you are progressing just like that all the way. It has ups and downs. Mountains, valleys. So you need to understand to say, oh, praise God, this season of trials has come. Glory be to your name. You are in it. I will overcome. It's difficult to say that, but please, try it. You see the result. Try it. The other thing that we do is similar to what I've said, the familiar grounds, is wanting to hold on to the past. Wanting to hold on to the past glory. I'm saying that. Wanting to hold on to the past glory. Now, I'm saying past glory not in a negative sense, whereby the past glory I'm talking about is, you see, there is a difference between things that God has done in your life and you are presenting them as a testimony, and the things that you are doing outside God and you saw them to be success and you want to hold on to them. How many things have we been holding on? Have we been holding on to? Sometimes even when we become Christians, there are some stuff which we say, okay, I can leave this, I can do this, but this one, I'll cross over with to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is merciful, he's helpful, he's going to help me. We should not, amen, we should not hold on to such. Let me say this. When we look at the story of one man, though the glory was even from God. Now, I want to show you the reaction. Let's get the example of Job. Okay? Job is a wealthy man, powerful, respected in the community. And then the time comes. The season of trial came. Everything was wiped out. And then the beautiful wife came. You are all wonderful wives in here. Don't worry, I'm not talking about you. The beautiful wife came and said, Job, just curse God so that he can kill you and rest. Every time I think, I look at Mary and I read that scripture, I'm like, oh my God. I asked her one time to say, can you say that? Joking it, of course. Look at Job's response. He said, should we only praise and worship God in times of good things, not in times such as these? The Lord gave, the Lord has taken. And if it is his will, naked I came, naked shall I return. What a powerful statement of faith.
Amen? That is total dependence upon God. The man said, even if all these things have gone, one thing I have is God. I may not understand what is going on in the spiritual realm or in my community around, but one thing I do is that I will continue to trust him and praise his holy name because he's worthy to be trusted. And we know the results. Amen? May God help us to be able to trust God, to be able to understand the season, not to hold on. Some of us, we are depressed because of the things that we lost in the past. Just like Job, instead of praising God, we are depressed and we are crying. We've even lost faith. We have abandoned the church. We have even, you see, as human beings, we don't want like to just stop something. We want to point fingers on others to say, ah, that one made me to make this decision. I used to love God, but that brother offended me. Up to today, I'm hurt. I used to have all these things. And now, look, I am a nobody. People will not respect me. I had wealth and everything. I don't have these things anymore. Job, praise the Lord, even in that season. Because he understood the time and season. That in this also, God must be praised and worshipped. And God honored him for that. Amen. And I pray today that as we open up to the Lord, as we surrender to him, even as we are encountering different seasons, stages of our lives, as we hold on to him, he's going to honor our faith. He will not abandon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remember that in all things, he works together for good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 29. For we know that in all things, God works together for good to those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. In all things, we are the ones who selects. Okay, in here, there is God. This one is the devil now. Now, one thing that we need to understand also is that even the challenges that we might go through sometimes, it's not everything that the enemy throws at us. Amen? Sometimes God will just allow that for you and me to grow, for our faith to be fortified, because he wants you and me to write and sing a new song. Amen? There are songs that are written in the book of Psalms, in the Bible. These are the songs of other people, David and all these guys. They talk about their experiences, their encounters with God, the aftermath of whatever was going on. Even us today, we need to sing our new songs. Our new songs will only come after we overcome the trials, the challenges, all these things that are coming, bombarding us. When we overcome them, we will sing a new song. Hallelujah. You don't have to have a voice, you know, to say, no, I don't sing only to the worship team and, you know, the gifted. You can sing a new song just by talking. Oh, Lord, I worship you. Hey, you did this. Hallelujah. Praise God. I sing a lot of songs. And if you heard me sometimes, you know, my voice would be, but I'm praising the Lord anyway. Amen. You need to write a song. That's why you are going through that. It's for the sake of the testimony. Look at this. If somebody came and told you about what you are going through, using their personal experience, and somebody came and just used the book about what they read and told you, who is going to carry more weight? When this other person will be talking, you'll be like, you don't understand. Because it's easy to read and transfer something to somebody than to have had an encounter or experience with that, and then you are presenting it. That's what Christianity is all about. It is about testimony presentation. Hallelujah. It is about bearing witness of the salvation, of the power of God. What is it that God has done in your life? That's what preaching is all about also. Amen? It's not about, you know, of course there is some exegesis here and there, but that's not very powerful. The power lies in what this God has done in the life that is speaking. Amen. So, we should discern, we should understand the times and the seasons. Always remember that good times will come. And when they do, praise the Lord. And when the page is flipped, or the clock turns the other way, or moves forward, challenging times will come. Praise the Lord anyway. Don't abandon. Stop running from one place to the other. Sorry, I'm being a bit radical there. I'm using the apostolic anointing. Amen. Because it is something that I've seen. You know, people who move from one place to the other trying to run away from something. If there is an unfinished business, God will keep taking you back to the same place. Let me give you a quick example. Moses ran off for fear of the Pharaoh. Okay? Of the Pharaoh. And 40 years later, God brought him back to the place he ran away from. Elijah the prophet, after performing mighty miracles, calling fire from heaven, and the voice of a lady just said, "If I don't have his head on this plate by tomorrow, may the gods strike me." Those are the gods of Baal. She's swearing. And that word, simple word, reached Elijah. The man ran for 2 days unstoppable until he got tired, whereby he slept for hours. And God had to prepare him some food to say, "Elijah, what's happening?" I'm sure God was looking to say, "Where is the fire that you are commanding from heaven?" He hides in the cave. God says, "What are you doing?" He asked him a question. "What are you doing in here, Elijah?" The same question is being asked today. What are you doing in that situation? Excuses started coming up. "No, Lord, I have been serving you faithfully. I am the only one remaining in Israel." Sometimes when we are going through something, we feel and think that we are the only ones. God said, "I have reserved 7,000 more." That's a very big number. You think that you are the only one, and then you only hear that 7,000. Of course, to cut the long story short, the command will come to say, "Go back where you are running away from." Hallelujah. May we overcome challenges and not run away from them. Because after we attain that victory, we are going to be very powerful people, very vibrant people in faith. And what you overcome, it means you have defeated it. It will not come back again. That's how spirituality works. Amen. What you overcome, you have done it and you move forward. Other battles are waiting. You see, the funny part is that we want promotion in the Lord. We want to advance, but we don't want to fight battles. That's the problem. The higher you want to go, the more principality, the more fire you are going to encounter, the more resistance and opposition. But take heart, because we have overcome all of them through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. May we just stand. We are going to pray in Jesus' name.
The word of the Lord has come about understanding the times and seasons. Each one of us know what we've been going through. Maybe we have not understood. Instead of acknowledging God, instead of calling upon God, maybe we've been complaining, we've been blaming others. The Lord is saying, let go. Let go of those complaints and trust Him. Some of us, maybe we were offended by somebody and we've stayed in the season of offense, in the season of unforgiveness. Be it your friend at work, be it your workmate, be it your family member or your spouse or anybody. The Lord is saying, let go and let Him do His work. Hallelujah. If you may, we just raise up our hands and just pray. Just on your own, ask this God as we are praying right now. If there is any area that has been a challenge in your life, that has been in which you have not been understanding every season. Maybe you are not currently, there's something that is happening and you are not understanding that season. Maybe you are even at the age of giving up. As we pray together right now and believe God for a new season, may we move forward in Jesus' name. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful for you today. Thank you for your word right now. I pray, Almighty God, for each one of us that, Lord, come to our aid in the name of Jesus. Visit us, O God, in your own special way. We've been moving in circles. We've been wandering about, maybe. We have not been understanding the times and seasons that we've been going through. We've been blaming others. We've been not forgiving, Lord. We've been retreating. We pray right now that give us the courage to overcome that fear. Give us the grace to move forward in the name of Jesus. I pray right now that, oh God, everyone who has been discouraged because of whatever they've gone through, may you revive their spirits right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your power, Holy Spirit, descend upon each one of us like never before in a fresh way. Revive our faith, oh God. Set us free from the power of fear. Set us free, Almighty God, from every power of oppression of the enemy. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we pray today, oh God, that let freedom come. Give us the grace to overcome everything that has been bringing us down. May we be sensitive to your voice, Spirit of the living God. Open our ears that will be able to hear whenever you speak. Give us that faith, Lord, to be able to jump in without negotiations. In Jesus' name, I declare your blessings over each one of us right now. Bless our coming in, Lord, and bless our going out. As we continue to believe you, as we discern the times and seasons, Lord, lead us and guide us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Because it is not by might nor power. On our own, we can do nothing. But through you, we are more than conquerors. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen.